Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us this evening here on this fine June Sunday evening. It's 7 p.m., June the 18th, 2023.
Eastern time.
Eastern time. I forgot it again, didn't I? I don't know why I have such trouble with that, but one of these days, friends, I will probably remember that.
Could you hear us at 8 p.m. Central Time?
Well, no. If it's 7 here, it's 6 Central.
Oh, 6. Okay.
Yeah, it goes
right.
The other way. It goes the other way. And I have a hard time with that, you know, especially when I'm traveling.
Yeah.
That gives me some trouble. But we're glad you're with us. We want to welcome everyone here. You know, one of the things that we really appreciate is the fact that Ray Powers keeps us on the air each and every week. Last week, because of my travels, we weren't in the studio, and Ray reran a program
right.
for us. And it's really nice to have him there to be able to do those things and keep us on the air week
yeah.
after week.
He looks after us.
He really does. Yeah. He really does. And for some of you who are new, maybe tuning in for the first time, Ed, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, would you?
Prophecies of Hope is a little ministry that was established 2012, mm-hmm. 2015, kind of our growing time. And we're in Stanton, Virginia, and we're at 1743 West Beverly Street, if you
want
to stop by and see us sometime. We have a Wednesday night Bible study that's mm-hmm. Viewable via Zoom, if you're interested. And we have a church service on Saturday, or the Sabbath, the biblical Sabbath,
right.
where we have a Bible study at 9:30 in the morning via Zoom, or we stream that online as well, live.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a worship hour at 11 on that same day, which is streamed live as well.
Yes, and the other thing is you can find our website at prophecyhope.com. And if you'd like to send us an email, or if you have a Bible question that you would like us to answer on the air, please feel free to email us. Ed, how would they contact you?
You can contact me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
Okay, and you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, that's fine. You can just send a general email to office@prophecyhope.com. Also, on the website, we have a number of sermons. There also are newsletters that we had written in the past, and time is just so hard to come by.
Yeah, we haven't been very good at keeping up on newsletters.
We really haven't, but you'll see some things, and there's some pretty good articles in those,
right.
Some personal testimonies, some Bible questions that are answered. Some of them we've covered here on the air, and you know, we would love for you to send in your questions or comments, and or if there's a topic that you would like us to discuss. Because let me tell you, it's really, the Bible is such a large book. When people ask questions, whenever I've had to answer a Bible question, it seems, Ed, that I always learn something.
Yes.
You know, because I don't want them just to have, well, this is what I know.
Right.
I usually go back and review the text, and I read the verse. If they say, well, this Bible text says this, it's always good to go back and read it, and then I might see something that I never saw
right.
before.
Sometimes we tend to rely on what we think we know, what we know is truth, and when we actually open the Bible and read the words on the page, we discover it actually says something different.
That has happened many, many times in this ministry. But we're really glad you're with us again. I just want to say that because, you know, this is so encouraging to Ed and I, and when people contact us and we have interaction with folks that have listened or that are listening to our archived programs, mm-hmm. it's really encouraging to us. And I think that's about it as far as the ministry and what we do.
Right.
And we've been studying the book of Romans over the past month or so.
Right.
And we're going to continue in Romans today. But before we get started, Ed, would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, we are thankful for this opportunity to come together and to open your word, to discover the love that you have for us, to discover the way of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we just humbly ask for wisdom and knowledge as we read the words on the page, to give us knowledge of how we personally can have a relationship with you and your Son, Christ, that leads to salvation, that leads to eternal life. Mm-hmm. So bless us, Father, with the Spirit of truth to guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, when we were here 2 weeks ago, we had just finished reading Romans chapter 3. We discussed a lot of it, And then we finish with the last five verses. Is there anything you would like to do? You want to review something?
Yeah, I just want to review a couple of things. You know,
sure.
Throughout a lot of Christianity, there's this thought that faith does away with the law of God.
Mm.
And here in this chapter, Romans chapter 3, we've talked about faith and the law. And, for example, let me read Romans 3, 21 and the following verses. But now a righteousness of God has been revealed apart from the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of the God through the faith of Jesus towards all and upon all those who believe. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then we go down to verse 31. It makes it clear. Do we make the law void through faith? Let it not be, but we establish the law.
Yeah, my translation, you're using the modern King
yes.
James. The new King James says, instead of let it not be, it says certainly not. And there's an exclamation point
yeah.
there. So what's this saying, Ed? Is this saying that, you know, I hear Christians all the time saying, well, the law's been done away. But what is this telling us?
Right. Well, it tells us that in our own attempts to keep the law, we're going to fail, because it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23.
Yes.
So on our own, we're unable to keep God's commandments. We're unable to be obedient to him. But through the faith of Jesus, because of the faith of Jesus, which led him to his death on the cross,
mm-hmm.
we can now have his life living within us to empower us to keep the law of God.
Amen.
To have the fruit of his spirit.
Amen.
Which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, faith, and so on, against which there is no law against doing those
That's
things.
That's Galatians 5,
yes.
is what you're quoting from.
Right.
So here's the thing, and this is something that is so important, friends, because the vast majority, even coming from the background that I come from, I was taught that the law was done away.
Mm-hmm.
And this is saying that God, these things establish law. In other words, without the law, we wouldn't know what sin is,
right?
And so in order to understand what sin is, we have to look at the law. And if we're doing the things, if we're living according to the way of Christ Jesus, then we're living within the law, and we won't come under the penalty of the law.
Right. If you remember last week, we were in 1 Timothy chapter 1. It
right.
tells us that the law is for those who are sinners, who are unrighteous.
Right.
They need to know what God is expecting of us, to know that their way of living is not according to God's way of living.
Now, one of the problems that happens here, because in our introduction, you probably heard Ed say that we meet on the biblical Sabbath.
Right.
So many people accuse this ministry of, it's happened, I have friends that will tell me, well, you keep the Sabbath, you think that we're still under law. And the question that you asked just the other day, Ed, when we were talking is,
uh-huh.
which commandment do you want to do away with?
Yeah, which commandment offends you?
Yeah.
Which commandment don't you want to keep? We need to recognize that the commandments of God are a hedge.
They're protection.
A protection for
yeah.
us. To keep us from experience the results of sin on this earth.
Absolutely.
There's consequences to breaking God's law. There's consequences to murder, to stealing, to committing adultery, to lying, bearing false witness, to not receiving the blessings of God because we take his name in vain, or worship another God, or defile the Sabbath day.
Right.
There's consequences for doing those things.
Absolutely. And we're not, the law, we read this over the past couple of weeks, the law doesn't save you.
No.
It's the blood of Christ that saves you, that gives you salvation.
Because we're sinners, we have broken God's law. Every single person
right.
has broken God's law.
All but one, and that's
yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ,
right?
yeah.
So when we look at this, what happens, and this has just been my personal experience, okay, is people will say, well, you're keeping the Sabbath, therefore you're under law.
You're a legalist.
Yeah, that's true. That's
you
what
know,
people say.
So when the nice police officer pulls me over because I've been speeding. Do I tell him, you're a legalist?
That's right. I was only 1 mile per hour over.
Yeah.
You legalist.
Because the law is the law. We're supposed to obey it.
Right.
You know? And the same with God's law. It's no different.
Sure.
You can call me a legalist, whatever, but I still want to obey God's law.
Amen.
Even though you try to use that word to make it sound negative, you know?
Right. And the reason I use 1 mile per hour over is because there's only one commandment that the majority of Christians have an issue with, and that's the fourth commandment, which is the Sabbath. And let me tell you, that commandment is no more important than any of the other commandments. Right. But it's the one that's ignored. It's no less important than any of the other commandments. So God wrote 10 commandments with his finger, and they are the law to live by. That's basically the constitution of a Christian,
right?
Is to live according. That's what Jesus did.
Yes.
He didn't break any of those laws.
No, he didn't.
He lived according to God's law.
And he did it through the faith he had in his Father.
Amen.
That empowered him.
And that's why we need the faith of Jesus.
Yes.
And we talked just weeks ago, you know, we're kind of reviewing here, I realize that, but just weeks ago we talked about the handwritten document.
Right.
And a lot of people like to say, well, that's the law's been done away because it speaks about the handwritten document. But we talked about the fact that in the Ten Commandments, it gives you the law. It just tells you this is what you should do.
Right.
Right? This is the law. But what's the penalty for the law?
Right. And the law of Moses, quote, the law of Moses, which was actually the voice of God being dictated by Moses, was the law that was against them.
Yes.
That was, according to Colossians, was nailed to the cross. Well, how was this law nailed to the cross? It was because Jesus bore the penalty of that law. And that's what the law of Moses tells us. What happens to the people that break the law of God? And it gave the consequences.
Yes. I'm glad you said that because I made a mistake in something I said two weeks ago.
Okay.
And I said that when we break the law, we suffer the penalty. No, Christ suffered the penalty, we suffer the consequence of breaking the law,
right?
Because I can't pay the penalty. Nothing I can do can pay it. Only Christ could pay the penalty. He could pay the fine, so to speak. But I have to suffer the consequence if I choose to break the law.
Right.
And if I do that unrepentantly, that's eternal death.
Yes.
But if I repent, I can have eternal life.
Yeah. And repenting is what?
Turning away from my wrongdoing, whatever that is.
It's not only just being sorry and asking for forgiveness, it's actually turning away from that lifestyle.
Yeah, in other words, I stop doing it.
Right.
I'm not going to do that anymore. And really, we've talked about this, and Romans really sounds this down, because my natural desire is to want to do things that are against God's law, because I'm sinful.
Yeah, we inherited that.
So as we study Romans, we'll see how God can help us through his son Jesus to overcome so that we won't break his law.
Right.
And that's the beauty of Romans.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's the beauty of the gospel.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So where do we want to go from here?
Go ahead and go to Romans chapter 4 and let's start reading that.
All right. Very good. And I realize that, you know, this, friends, the reason why we're talking about this is because this part of the gospel, this part of the Bible is so misunderstood. I mean, I would say the vast majority of Christianity has the idea, they will say, oh yeah, we need to keep the commandments. But then they'll throw one or two of them under the bus.
Yeah.
But no, either we keep them or we don't.
Right.
You can't have it both ways. You can't say, yeah, we have to keep the commandments, but not that one. That one's not
important. And we need to understand that our hope isn't in my ability to keep the commandments
of
God. It's through Christ living in me, empowering me to be obedient to God, his Father.
Yes, absolutely. So Romans chapter 4.
Yeah,
huh?
If you could read verses 1 through 12 for us.
Sure. And again, I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And then shall we say that Abraham, what then? Let me read it right. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. How now to him who works, the wages are not committed as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of righteousness, as a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had made, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they were uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. So this needs some explanation.
Yeah, in the early Christian church, the Jewish Christians have a Jewish background, were still caught up into this idea of circumcision. Mm-hmm. And it was something Paul fought against for a long time, wanting the Gentiles to be circumcised so they come under the law of Moses.
Right.
And so Paul here is preaching about the father of the Jewish nation, Abraham, and that he tells them that Abraham's faith started before he was circumcised.
Right.
His faith was in uncircumcision, and the circumcision is a seal or a sign of his faith.
Yes.
And that faith is available to those who are circumcised as well as those who are uncircumcised. And that salvation comes through faith. Not that we can do anything for ourselves. It's through faith in this gift that God has given us through his Son, Jesus Christ. In Romans 4:5, this is what the modern King James says, "But to him not working, but believing on him, justifying the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Mm. So in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it talks a little bit about this. Remember, Peter is an apostle, a disciple of Christ, who wrote this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. "For Christ also once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, indeed being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit." So it talks about our justification occurring because of Christ's suffering for us and his death on the cross. That's how God justifies us.
Yes. And actually, mine says being put to death in the flesh but made alive by the Spirit.
Yeah.
That's by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
So God resurrected Jesus.
Yes.
So that's interesting to me when we read these things.
So in Paul's day, in the early Christian church, Paul's mission is to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. In the meantime, he still had in his heart a desire for his own brethren, the Jewish brethren, to come to the knowledge of salvation.
Right.
And so he's still fighting this fight of trying to get away from the law of men, the law of the Jewish circumcision and all these laws, that were created to try to make themselves righteous, mm-hmm. but didn't make them righteous. It only occurs through faith.
Right. So when we read about these things about being uncircumcised versus circumcised, what this is telling us is that Abraham, I think you said this right when we finished reading, Abraham, even in his uncircumcision, had faith. But the circumcision was an outward expression. He was making a declaration, because a man wouldn't circumcise himself. Someone else would likely do that.
Yeah.
And I guess it's sort of like a form of baptism. Hmm. Would you say? Would you say that that's what it's like? It's almost like, you know, when I get baptized, I'm giving a public expression of my dedication to God.
Well, we'll talk about that.
Will
when
we get there
to Romans
eventually?
6.
Okay. All right, that sounds good. Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'm running ahead a little bit.
That's fine. Yeah. But when you think about faith, Mark, mm-hmm. let's say I don't have a job, and you say, I'm going to pray to God about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I after I pray, asking God to help me find a job, I say, I'm going to have faith.
Mm.
And then I sit on the couch and do nothing.
Yeah.
Is that faith?
Well, no. We have to work according to our faith.
Yeah.
I mean, we could say, well, yeah, I believe that God's going to just drop a job in my lap. Now, that may happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there needs to be action on our part.
Right. Faith without works is dead.
That's what we're told in James. Yeah. I mean, it's very clear. And we're not saved by the works, again. We're saved by the faith.
Right.
But if I have faith, it's going to produce works. It's going to cause me to want to do that.
Actually, I'm going to, let's change what you said just a little bit by going to Ephesians chapter 2.
Just
for a moment. Ephesians chapter 2.
Yeah, you'll have to
And Rick
keep
really brought this to my attention a while ago.
Okay.
And verses 8 through 10. Let me read this from the Modern King James. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So we're saved by grace through faith.
Okay.
Okay.
So what did I say?
You said we're saved by faith.
Ah.
And a lot of people say that because they kind of hear people saying that, but
that's
they don't
true.
Really realize it's we're saved by grace through faith. In our belief in the grace that God has given us, the grace of his Son, Jesus
Christ.
Yeah,
that's so true. Yeah. So words mean things, don't they? And if I say something like that, it needs to be corrected. Thank you.
Well, yeah, it's just something. Sometimes we don't understand what we're saying because we just repeat what we have heard.
What we've been told or heard.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I want to say something. I said it the way I wanted to say it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that.
Right.
But there have been times I've wanted to say something a different way. And in my mind, I hear me saying it, but I said it a different way.
Right. You know, I'll still never forget. I speak occasionally, and we were doing a public evangelism, and we decided, we usually did it in the evening, and we decided to do it during the day for those people who may work in the evening, and, you know, like two people show up or whatever. Anyways, so I was speaking, and I accidentally said that God lies.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was terrible.
But, you know, but that happens. I mean, yeah. we're going
and
to mess
up. I realized what I said right away and corrected it, but you just kind of sometimes speak without thinking, you know?
Yeah, and there's so many times that you think you say something. It's part of our condition, you know?
Let's continue on in Romans chapter 4. And actually, let's just read the rest of the chapter starting in verse 13.
All right, let me get back there again.
All right.
Sorry about that. I do it the old-fashioned way. So Romans chapter 4, where are we? Verse
13 10. On to the end of the chapter.
Okay. Did you want me to read that?
Yes, please.
Okay. So this is Romans 4 beginning in 13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he promised he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification.
All right.
There's a lot here.
Yeah, this is great. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith.
Mm.
Now, I know someone is going to look at verse 15 and say, this is what it says, where there is no law, there is no transgression.
Mm.
But let's read it in context. Let's
okay.
see what it's talking
sure.
about, why it says that. Let's start with verse 14.
Go ahead.
For if they of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is no effect. Remember, Abraham and his seed were heirs through faith, mm-hmm. not through the law. Because the law works out wrath. What does that mean, the law works out wrath?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Mine says the law brings about wrath.
When we disobey God's law, there's a punishment for that.
Right.
It brings about the wrath of God.
Yeah.
Then he clarifies it, for where there's no law, there's no transgression. If there wasn't any law, then there would be no wrath.
Hmm. The wrath of God
yeah.
we've heard about.
But he
right?
says, because the law works out wrath. He's saying there is a law, and it works out wrath. And so he's saying again that there is a law, because if there was no law, there would be no transgression or no wrath. So people take this out of context all the time. It's not saying the law's been done away with. It's saying the opposite. If there wasn't a law, then you wouldn't have anything to worry about.
Right. If you know, the illustration that you've used in the past about if there's no speed limit, you can't be ticketed
right.
for breaking the speed limit.
Right.
But if there is a speed limit, then once you go beyond that, you've transgressed the law. So it points out that, hey, guess what? You shouldn't be doing this. And
yeah.
if I do it, well, now I come under the penalty of the law.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, the last few verses of Romans 4 talk about the gospel. Talking about Abraham in verse 23, it says, now it was not written for him alone that it was imputed to him, talking about righteousness because of his faith,
mm-hmm.
but for us also to whom it was is to be imputed, to the ones believing on him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Of course, that's God, the Father of Christ, who was delivered because of our offenses and was raised for our justification. Jesus Christ was put on the cross because of my sins,
mm-hmm.
because of my disobedience. Because I deserved what he experienced, because
right.
I was disobedient to God.
Each person needs to realize that on their own. In other words, we need to point the finger at ourselves rather than others.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So many times we'll look and say, well, Christ died for you. Well, no, Christ died for everyone.
Yeah.
Right?
We need to understand that this is a personal thing between us and God and mm-hmm. his son, Jesus Christ. That we need to understand and take a look at our lives. Take a look and see what's in our hearts and see if is that acceptable to God?
Mm. That's so
and
important.
Understand that the sin in my life is what caused Christ to be put on that cross.
Right.
To bear my penalty because of the love God has for me and for you to give us the opportunity to have eternal life, a life without sin, a life without all the consequences of this evil world of death, violence. You know, just, this world today is crazy.
It is. It's out of hand.
And so to imagine living in a world without those things, we can't imagine it. We can't believe it could exist because of the evil in the world today.
Mm, that's so true. So this promise that was granted is, it's through the faith that we have in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
It's not there's, by...
Yeah, there's a text. Let me give you an example of that faith that we're talking about.
Okay.
It's in Philippians chapter 4.
All
and
right.
I want to read just verse 13.
Okay.
And this is the modern King James Version, Ephesians 4, verse 13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You notice it doesn't say I can do some things
right.
through Christ.
Or many.
Or a few things
right.
through Christ.
And it doesn't say many.
No.
It says
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to believe that that's possible in order for that to occur. That's what faith is.
Yes, it is. In fact, Hebrews 11 gives us the definition of faith.
Yes.
And let me just turn there real quick. I can quote
Hebrews
it.
Hebrews 11, 1, I believe.
The first verse of Hebrews yeah. chapter 11. That's right. And here's what it says, Hebrews 11, 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
You may not see it being possible.
Right.
How many people do you hear when you talk about salvation through the death of Christ or the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they say, well, I'm not good enough.
Yeah, who is?
Yeah, who is, that's for sure. And again, I've said this a lot. Charles Spurgeon would say to that person, how fortunate you are, because you're exactly the person that God sent his son to save.
You have to recognize that there's a need,
yeah.
right? That's the key.
Yeah.
We need to recognize we have a need. And if we recognize it, then we don't try to do it on our own. We have to depend on Christ.
Right. That's the only way. There's only one way to salvation. There's only one name given among men, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
Acts 4:12.
The famous verse that I can't ever, that I can never find.
There's a long story behind that, but I Mark was preaching. I gave him this text, and he couldn't find it because he had verse 13 underlined, and he couldn't see verse 12.
I did. That was so embarrassing, but that happens. It was funny at the same time. I had to laugh at myself.
So this idea of salvation through faith in Jesus, believing that and accepting this gift that God has given us. And as we get going through Romans 5, 6, and 7, we'll understand that this gift is more than the death of Christ. Mm. There's more to this gift than that.
Yes, it is. So and when we read here in these texts, you know, Abraham obviously had faith.
Did you know that the gospel was preached to Abraham?
Where can we find that?
That's in Galatians. I think we've talked about this already, but it won't hurt to go back there in Galatians chapter 3.
Yeah, I think it's good to touch on that because so many people, they think of the gospel as being, well, you know, we call the first four books of the New Testament the gospels, right?
Right.
And they think, well, that's where the gospel is.
But most people, I guess they don't understand the sanctuary services in the Old Testament. This was the gospel. Mm. In real life to them. It pointed to what Christ would come and do. Galatians 3:8. Can you read that for us, please?
Sure.
Or actually, 6 through 9.
Okay. So Galatians 3, 6 through 9, it says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand,
yes.
saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham.
Right.
That's amazing.
And how was the gospel preached before Abraham? What was that gospel? If we were to continue to read, that gospel is the second part of the gospel in the gift of the Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's, and I think, I know we've talked about this. Yes, we've talked about that here.
Yes, we have.
And we talk about this a lot.
Yes.
Because it's so neglected by so many people.
Right.
They realize that Jesus came and lived, and he came and died. They realize he was resurrected.
Yeah.
But it stops there and in their minds.
Right.
And in my mind, all of my life.
Right.
That's where it ended. But it hasn't ended.
Yeah.
It's still going on today.
Right. And most, we, you know, think about this. I've said this before. God hates sin.
Mm.
Sin is transgression of God's law. And there's a penalty for that. The penalty is death.
Right.
We just read in Romans 3:23. But God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Mm.
So I accept that gift.
Yes.
That gift of Christ dying in my place, dying for the sins that I have committed, bearing my embarrassment, my shame, my guilt, my death, so I can be reconciled to God. But now what?
Mm.
I still have a life to live.
Right.
The devil is definitely out there in the world going about like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour.
Right.
How do I navigate this life? How do I continue in my obedience to God?
So I just want to say this, Ed. And this is a rhetorical question to the listener.
Okay.
How many of us know someone, or maybe even ourselves are guilty, of saying, well, I'm saved because I believe in Christ.
Yeah.
And they leave it at that. Is that enough? Is just believing enough? The Bible tells us that the demons believe.
Right.
Right?
Faith without works is dead.
Amen. It comes right back to that.
Faith brings about change. Having a relationship to God and his Son brings about change.
Yes.
I've said this before. There's a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, The Change.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about, I've got a Bible. I've got a necklace with a cross on it. I've got a What Would Jesus Do bracelet. I have a Jesus bumper sticker on my car. I have a fish on my car.
Mm.
But what about the change? What about the difference that this should make in your life, the
right.
gospel of Jesus Christ? And that's what really the second half of the gospel is. How does this occur? How is this possible? If I'm honest about the difficulties of life on this earth, how can this possibly happen in my life?
And we're getting ever closer in Romans to it's going to give us how this happens.
Yes.
And it's such a beautiful thing. And I never... until the last several years, I didn't understand it.
I didn't either, Mark. I didn't
either. And it's been such a blessing to be studying these things together and learning these things. So where are we going next?
So let me ask you a question.
Sure.
How did we discover this?
You know, it's by studying and reading the Bible.
Yes.
And really, this might sound kind of ridiculous, but letting go of the things that I thought I knew.
Right. Stop listening to men. And you know, as long as someone is pointing you to the Bible and the truth of what the words on the page say, mm-hmm. not what someone preaches it says, not what a church teaches it says, not what you believe it, you thought it said, but what they actually say. When you start looking at the Bible just to find out what it says, then you'll start seeing the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And, you know, each one of us, it doesn't matter what background anybody comes from.
It doesn't.
We've all been, for lack of a better word, including myself, indoctrinated. And we've been taught certain things by, you know, our parents. My parents were they were good Christian parents. They brought me up in a great home.
Uh-huh.
But I was indoctrinated to believe the things that the church that I grew up in taught.
Right.
Which some of it was right straight from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But there were other things that weren't.
Yeah.
And you've had that same experience.
Yes.
And I think everybody here, if we're honest with ourselves, that's where we'll find ourselves.
Yeah.
We have to be honest. And Ed, you said it weeks ago in a prayer, and I ask you to talk about it on the air. What did you mean when you said, let us just understand the words on the page? And you just mentioned that.
Right. You know, so often we read parts of the Bible, and you have in your mind, oh, I already know what this says, so you just breeze through it, not seeing the words on the page.
Right. Yeah, I know what that verse says. And yeah, maybe I do. But once I read it in context, I find out, yeah, I knew what it said, but I didn't understand what it said.
Yeah, you said an important word there, context.
Context, yeah.
When you study God's Word, you know, start out by reading the words on the page. Ask questions about what you're reading. What does it mean being justified by faith? How can we have peace through God, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1? And ask questions about what you're reading. Read it in context. Context means the verses surrounding it, before and after. And sometimes, folks, it means chapters before and chapters after.
Yes. You know, we learned that in the book of John, didn't we?
Yes. And also comparing what else the Bible may have to say on the particular word or phrase you're studying.
Mm-hmm.
And you could, these days, it's easier to do either through a Bible software, have a concordance. Frankly, when I'm looking for verses in the Bible, I have an idea what to say. I just Google it.
Yeah.
And it usually pops up. And like I said before, I'm a terrible speller, so Google doesn't mind. It knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Whereas the Bible software does mind.
You know, and that's so true. And these tools and aids, you know, friends, don't be afraid to put them, you know, find an app for your phone, a Bible app, if right. there's a translation of the Bible that you like. There's a free app for it, very likely.
Oh, yeah, there's free Bibles software yeah. you can download everywhere.
And, you know, I know this is a Bible study program. It's called Bible Answers because we want to get the answers from the Bible.
Yeah.
So we want to encourage you to open your Bible, get your phone out, look at it, look at the verses if you're using your phone, and, you know, everybody should be following along as you can. Read the words because you might see something that we've completely
right.
missed.
Yeah.
And if we miss it, send us an email and say, hey, did it ever occur to you? Or did you see this? Or have you read that?
How often, as we've been studying in a small group in our small ministry, and the light bulb goes on for someone and they mention it, and we all go, wow.
Yeah, that happens more yeah. often than you would think.
Yeah,
I mean, it happens... I would say not maybe monthly
yeah.
that we're sitting there, you know, if we averaged it out.
So let's start reading about the second half of the gospel story in Romans chapter 5.
Okay, let's do
and
that.
And if you could read verses 1 through 11 for us, Mark.
Okay, beginning in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith to this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation.
All right, so we've been talking about faith. Mm-hmm. Notice verse 2. Through him, through Jesus Christ, we also have access by faith into this grace which we have in which we stand. This grace is the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. And this gift of Christ is more than his death on the cross, as we'll see in just a minute.
Mm.
You know, in verse 5, it says, "And hope does not make us ashamed, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us." We're going to come back to this in the next few chapters of Romans. And you're not going to quite understand this until we get to Romans 8. But we'll get back to that.
Good.
Verse 6. These next few verses were so powerful and caused such a change in my heart and in my life when I finally began to read the words on the page. For we yet being without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will with difficulty die for a righteous one. Yet perhaps one would even dare to die for a good one. But God commends his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Is God able to read our hearts?
Absolutely.
You know, we need to be honest about what's in our hearts. We need to take the time, just you and God, and looking at what's in my heart, what's in your heart. Because God already knows what's in there. We just need to be honest with ourselves. But notice this. It doesn't say, when you obey two of the Ten Commandments, then Christ will die for us. Or when I obey nine out of the Ten Commandments. It says that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners.
Right.
And sinning is disobedience of God's commandments, a transgression of God's law. Let's continue on. Verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood. Remember, we read in 1 Peter that Christ the just justified the unjust.
Right.
Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Wrath, the wrath of transgression of God's law.
We read about that in the previous chapter.
Yes, we did. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, notice we were enemies to God, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. The death of Christ reconciles us to God, because sin separated us from God. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Wow.
The life that he lives now. The life that he wants to live within us. His death reconciles us to God, but we're saved by his life. We need to look at that and see what that's all about.
Yeah. You know, take a look at that, Ed. Just back up for a moment, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Verse 9, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And then verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through Christ, or through the death of his son. So that means that when I'm born, I'm at odds because I'm a sinner. I'm born into this condition.
Yeah.
So in that state, I'm born as... There's really, outside of Christ, there's no chance. There's nothing. I'm an enemy of God.
Yeah, it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
But Christ brings us out of that enemy-like state.
Yes.
And brings us into a relationship to where we can actually be partakers of the divine nature
through
of God,
Christ.
Through Christ.
Yeah. So here we have the death of Christ, like I was talking about before. Mm. We've been forgiven our sins. We're now in a right standing with God. We've been reconciled to God through the death of Christ. But again, I ask, now what? How do I maintain that? How do I keep that position? How do I keep that relationship? And here it says in Romans 5:10, the last part of it says, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Mm. You know, Colossians 1:26 and 27.
Yeah.
It talks about a mystery that was hid through generations, but now has been revealed to the saints, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
This is the second half of the gospel story.
Yes. And this is the saved by his life part that we just read, right?
Yes. So let's continue on in Romans 5:12.
Because this is going to give us more depth as we go through,
yes.
Right?
And then when we get to Romans 6, we'll talk more about being saved by his life, how that occurs. We'll see that beginning in Romans 6.
Okay, right? That sounds good. Are you going to read, or you want me to read?
Let me read the rest of the chapter,
sure.
Starting in Romans 5:12. This, again, is the Modern King James. Therefore, even as through one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed on all men, inasmuch as all sinned. Of course, this is talking about Adam.
Right.
But until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there's no law. So we know a law has always existed because there has always been sin in the world.
Right.
Verse 14, but death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is the type of him who was to come. But the free gift shall not be also like the offense. For if by the offense of one many died, much more the grace of God and the gift in grace, which is of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. And the free gift, notice here, it's free.
Yeah.
It's something you can't earn, something you can't reimburse God for once you receive it.
Right.
It's totally free, and you have to be willing to accept it. You know, there's this old-time preacher, Charles Spurgeon, would say, if your pride's keeping you from coming to Christ, ask God to take it away from you. He will do it.
That's very important.
So it's a free gift. Verse 16, and the free gift shall not be as by one having sinned, for indeed judgment was of one to condemn condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses to justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they who received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by one offense sentence come on all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came to all men to the justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. But the law entered so that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So that as sin has reigned to death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So here we have this contrast between the life of Adam and the life of Christ. Through one man's sin, through one man's disobedience, we all experience death.
Right.
And the results of this sinful nature that we have. But through the life of Christ, who was without sin, who was obedient, we can receive his righteousness in place of our unrighteousness, which leads to eternal life.
Amen. So, Ed, you know, we only have a few minutes, so I don't know that we're going to get into chapter 6.
Right.
But I just wanted to state this because this is a question that comes up often. You know, if when Adam sinned, the question has been, why didn't God just start over? But his justice would not allow him to do that.
The character of God, he had a love for his creation.
Yeah.
You know, this is a little bit of a complex question you're asking because it involved more than just Adam and Eve.
It did. That's right. Because
you have the whole universe looking on.
And you have the serpent who was misleading them,
yes.
Or Eve anyway.
So if what happened in the Garden of Eden was Adam and Eve chose to obey Satan versus to obey God.
Right.
Really, that's what it came down to.
That's what it boiled down to.
They believed Satan and they didn't believe God.
Right. And it's just that simple for us today.
Right.
Who are we going to believe?
So look at what has transpired since then in this history of the world, this history of this planet we call Earth. God is allowing for us, for the universe, to see the results of following Satan versus following God.
So he's allowing things to play out so that this problem doesn't happen again.
Yes.
so that it's dealt with once and for all,
yes.
Right? And so here's the other thing. When Adam ate the fruit, he lost his, he was created as a righteous being.
Right.
He lost that righteousness.
Right.
So now all he can pass on is his unrighteousness.
Yes.
So we need the righteousness of Christ.
Yes.
There's no other way. So every person, it's kind of like if you have a mold of maybe a vase, maybe you've made this beautiful mold and you put the clay in that mold and then you open it up and it's just beautiful. It's perfect. And you drop that mold and it has a crack, a hairline crack in it. Well, now every vase that comes out of that mold is going to have the hairline crack.
Yeah.
There's no way to repair it. So Jesus came to repair that hairline crack, that sin. And that's what this is all about.
And it started in the Garden of Eden, that repair.
That's right. It did.
Remember, when Adam and Eve sinned, they all of a sudden realized they were naked.
Mm-hmm.
And they covered themselves with fig leaves to cover their nakedness.
Correct.
And then God came in the cool of the evening to meet with them, and he couldn't find them. And when he called out for them and they answered, he said, "Why were you hot? Where were you?" And they said, "Well, we heard your voice in the garden and was afraid because I am naked."
Right.
"And I hid myself." Even though they had tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, it didn't cover up their nakedness, their shame from having transgressed God's law.
That's
being disobedient to him. But what did God do? He covered them with skins of animals.
Yes, which pointed to, what was that pointing to, Ed?
Well, let me ask you a question. Do skins of animals come from live animals or dead animals?
Dead animals.
It was the beginning of that sacrificial system, which pointed to the sacrifice
to
of
this.
Christ on the cross.
To what we're studying here.
Exactly.
So we have to stop here. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
So we'll pick up where we left off next week.
Right.
And I'm sorry to have to stop us, Ed, but we're out of time.
That's okay.
So let's have a prayer together, and then we'll close, and we'll pick up here in chapter 6 next week. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for your word and just how cohesive it is and just how complete it is. We're grateful for the plan of salvation that you have given to all of humanity. And Father, may we accept that. May we receive it, and may we believe and show our faith by the things that we do. May we accept Christ in us, Father. We ask that you will be with us until we come together again next week. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, it's been a pleasure. It's always good to be here. Friends, we hope to see you here again next Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.